Kevin Miller in the Morning is brought to you by Tway Travel, your adventure travel specialists. Fighting for America.
Do I want to send one of my sons or your son to fight to regain Mosul? Who should want to stop them more? Maybe the people who live there.
There are a lot of groups out there that probably have more advanced immediate plans directed against the United States.
Fighting for Idaho.
Pride is an important celebration for the LGBT community. It's important to be out and be proud of who you are and be safe in your community and show everyone that we're part of Boise.
Fighting for you.
Portugal scored a devastating goal to tie the game.
Team USA settling for a 2-2 draw.
We're Team USA, we're going all the way.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the Morning on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Now we'll see how far they go with the Germans. Kevin Miller in the Morning here, 580 KIDO. Phone number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. And there are a few things going on. We do want to share with you what happened at the IRS yesterday. Garden City looking at a smoking ban, Eagle and the roundabout. But before that, by the way, you can always go to 580kido.com. We've got a great article there by Dan Popke that details my thoughts concerning Chairman Barry Peterson, who supports this program, and doesn't use this program for his own personal misbegotten ways. And I'm not saying that, Barry, that you ever have any misbegotten ways. And doesn't listen like most of the politicians. You know, I'm always amazed when people come in and they don't know anything about this program, but they profess to support it. Just the hypocrisy. Look, if you don't listen, you don't listen. That's cool. Don't sit there and try and sing me a song. There's one politician in particular that always, yeah, I'd like to come on all the time. And then they don't listen. So why bother? But Barry listens. We have a lot of respect for Barry. That's why we're going to share this piece that happened on Saturday morning, part two of our interview with him. And Barry called up and said, look, I want to set the record straight. There was a story about him on Channel 7, a story about him on Idaho Reports. I was debating Tea Party Bob and Patriot Ray about it. And by the way, again, Dan Popke wrote about this in the Statesman on his blog. We have a link to that at Kevin Miller Tuesday Morning right now. So let's take a listen to this and get your thoughts here at 580KIDO concerning whether or not Barry needs backup when it comes to his quest to maintain the direction of the state Republican Party.
We go back to Barry Peterson, chairman of the state Republican Party at 580KIDO. And Barry, first of all, we appreciate you listening and we appreciate you calling in. Did you see the report last night on Channel 7?
I didn't see the report on Channel 7, but I did see some comments about, I did see public television, and I heard your comments this morning about that report by Jamie Gray, the award-winning journalist.
Yes. Well, she is an award winner.
She may be.
Now, Barry, she said that she did talk to you, but you wouldn't talk to her on camera.
The reason I wouldn't talk to her on camera is because I am not a media specialist. I am keenly aware that the media can pick and choose what they want to do, and rather than have myself exposed to their picking and choosing, and she clearly comes down on the liberal side, I don't want to do it, so I did not want to interview with her.
Well, let me hit you with this. Are you worried about the, well, and then if you did listen to that, then she started talking about Tea Party stacking at the convention. Do you want to respond to that? As I did say that was an unfair perception of that, but what would you want to respond to that? Since
when I'm thinking in terms of the party, Kevin, I do not think in terms of Tea Party this or Libertarian that or whatever. All my obligation is to follow the rules, and those committees, the four committees. Each of those four committees had somewhere between 35 and 45 people appointed to them, and each of them had at least 22 counties represented, more, but not all the same counties. And each of the districts, the 35 districts, almost all the districts had a position on one of the committees.
Now, Barry, your thoughts on our two senators and the governor asking the national RNC to come to their defense?
Well, it's interesting to me, At the conclusion of the convention, regardless of all the falderaw that went on, all of us went away from there, having had that vote at the adjournment, thinking that the officers were in place. So first thing Monday, I said, to affirm everything is appropriate, let's convene the Rules Committee, the Standing Rules Committee. And the party does not have an attorney. We have nobody on retainer. We have Jason Risch, who has volunteered his services to the party. He is closely connected with the establishment. And so I not only did we have his opinion, but I also asked Chris Troupas if he would give an opinion. And with those opinions, go before the Rules Committee and let the Rules Committee try to discern the position of the party as to whether or not we were in harmony with the rules. The Rules Committee is made up of two people out of each of seven regions, and those two people are appointed by the region chairman, who are elected to serve as region chairman. And people came from far and wide across this state, some more than 500 miles, to participate in that Rules Committee meeting, which was public. We held it at the State House. We invited the media to be there, and we invited the public to be there. And when I say that the media is biased, the one side of the argument was reported on public television pretty thoroughly, but the other side of the argument was not reported but by a whisper. So there's no reason for me to expect that the conservative side of the party is going to get a fair ear on the media. And that's why we're all mistrustful of the media. When the media decides which truths you may know and which truths you may not know, then they abandon their responsible position to protect the liberty of the people.
Barry, back to my thoughts on Congressman Labrador. Your response to that, shouldn't he come out and defend you?
You know, I think the congressman probably has the same position that I have. I do not know that he has, but when you come out and you give yourself up to the press, it's not undifferent in our press than it is in the national media. When you give yourself up to the press, then they pick and choose and they paint the color of your makeup. You do not get a full expression of who you are. This interview that I'm having with you right now, you've got the airwaves open. What you say, what I say, and the public can listen of their own volition and decide if there's credibility in it. So Congressman Labrador, I personally don't see how he can win if he comes to the media. I don't even know how he can be treated fairly if he comes to the media.
Well, I think he can, because he's the belle of the ball right now, and he can add some credibility to where you are.
Well, he could back you up. He can do what he will, and I am grateful that he was willing to serve as the chair of the convention. It's a difficult job. It was one that I felt would tax the meager talents I have. I am but a citizen who wants to have the citizen's voice heard in a public political forum. And the convention is an opportunity for the delegates who, by our rules, elect the chairman and officers of the party.
Barry, final thought, then we're going to get rolling here at 580KIDO. And please correct me where I'm wrong in this. I think that the congressman was there with you. He should be backing you up, because it was his decision along with the parliamentarians. And, again, Barry, you listen to this program. You know my train of thought. I'm thinking, yeah, running for the majority leader is great, but when your chairman's under fire, you don't leave a man behind.
And I respect your position. You've said it well. And I haven't talked to the congressman about it since. So that issue, Kevin, I'm not in a position to rank him or rate him.
No, and I understand that, Barry, and I know this is very difficult for you.
But he's doing what he's doing, I regret that there's not more cover for this thing, because in spite of the fact that the convention has been reported as being a catastrophic event, I don't feel that way at all. People tried to have their voice. There was a lot of rope-a-dope that went on. We were denied the opportunity to vote. All the candidates were there ready to put themselves out in front of the delegates for a vote. But for whatever reason, it was delayed and delayed and delayed until it was over. And so now we got this mess. But it is clear to me that the delegates of the convention got to cast a vote at the time of the adjournment to hold the existing officers in place, as well as the platform and other pertinent positions of the party.
There we have it, our great friend Barry Peterson, who, whether you agree with Barry or not, is a wonderful man, a gentleman who certainly is a hard worker, who has burst on the state scene and is not really, well, is not worthy of the vilification that the establishment has heaped upon him. By the way, we continue to offer both sides the opportunity to come on this program to debate this issue. We had Chris Troupas on yesterday. We would love to have certainly the folks from the establishment on to get their side of the story. We don't take sides here. We have opinions, just like you. But at 580-5436, 580-5436, look, it does me no good to say this, but it's never about me furthering my cause. It's about opinion. It's about dissent. It's about commentary. And as I said to Barry Peterson, as I've said to you, and I said in the Popke on Politics piece, which, again, you can get at Kevin Miller Tuesday morning at the top of the page, where is the cover for Chairman Peterson? And why do we, and I suppose it's great that we have a press corps that doesn't ask the tough questions except to the conservatives, and how everybody was behind Congressman Labrador, and that's great that he ran for majority leader, and that's wonderful that he's on Meet the Press, and those are great national platforms, but still you have to have the roads built in your district. Still you have to do the daily diligence. And when your chairman is under siege, under fire, you don't say, quote, I warned people about this and leave, do you? You don't leave a man behind, figuratively, not literally. At least, I would hope that I wouldn't do that. I would hope that you wouldn't do that. And maybe again, at 580KIDO, this is too much inside baseball, but for me personally, I'm thinking to myself, if I'm chairman of that committee, I'm responsible for this mess. And the media gives him a pass. Well, it's all Barry Peterson's fault. No, Barry Peterson wasn't the chairman of the committee, was he? No, of course not. So we'll see how this plays out. But you've heard from Barry Peterson your thoughts on the state of the Republican Party, the state of the Democratic Party. The Democrats now saying, hey, we've got an opportunity. Take a look at the state school superintendent's race. That's going to be a tough one. You take a look at the Secretary of State's race. That might be a tough one. What about the governor's race? Will the conservatives come back into the fold? Will the establishment welcome them? Plus, Congress versus the IRS next with Kevin Miller, 580KIDO. Let's get you to work safely.
Sean Hannity, weekday afternoons at 3 on 580KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Don't kill me, man!
I'm not going to kill you. I want you to do me a favor. I want you to tell all your friends about me.
What are you?
I'm Batman.
There you have it, the iconic Michael Keaton, 25 years ago this week, Batman, making over, what was it, $400 million, and people thought it would actually, at the time, dethrone E.T. Who could forget Kim Basinger, the Batmobile, Alfred the Butler, and of course, the Joker, before Heath Ledger. Oh, how time flies when we're having fun. Kevin Miller in the morning, thank you all for joining us. Fun yesterday in Congress, where we had Representative Trey Gowdy going toe-to-toe with the IRS commissioner, which I think you could actually make him a celebrity bobblehead. Let's take a listen here at 580KIDO. Remember, your excuse for not doing any work anymore? The hard drive crashed. The hard drive crashed. I'm sorry, boss. The hard drive crashed.
Piece of evidence is when a party fails to preserve, there's a negative inference that the jury can draw from their failure to preserve the evidence. You with me? If you destroy documents, the jury can infer that those documents weren't going to be good for you. If you fail to keep documents, the jury can infer that those documents were not going to be good for you. You've heard the phrase spoliation of evidence, haven't you?
I can't recall ever hearing
it. It's true in administrative hearings, civil hearings, criminal hearings.
I practiced law once 45 years ago, gave it up for Lent 1 year, never went back.
All right. Well, let me tell you what you would have found if you had stuck with it. When a party has a duty to preserve evidence or records and they fail to do so, there is a negative inference that is drawn from their failure to preserve the evidence. It's common sense, right? If you destroyed something, the jury has a right to infer that whatever you destroyed would not have been good for you, or else every litigant would destroy whatever evidence was detrimental to them. Agreed?
I'm not sure. I think if you destroy the evidence and people could prove it, it wouldn't be a good thing for your defense.
Well, no, it's worse than that. The jury can draw, and they're instructed, they can draw a negative inference.
All right.
And that's true if a taxpayer is being sued by the IRS administratively, civilly, or prosecuted criminally, and they fail to keep documents, the jury can draw a negative inference from the fact that they didn't keep receipts or emails or documents. So if it's true and applies to a taxpayer, it ought to apply to the IRS as well. Agreed?
Is this a trial? Is this a jury? Is that what you're...
I said administrative, civil, or criminal. If you want to go down that road, I'm happy to go down it with you, Commissioner. In fact, I'm glad you mentioned it. You have already said multiple times today that there was no evidence that you found of any criminal wrongdoing. I want you to tell me what criminal statutes you've evaluated.
I have not looked at any.
Well, then how can you possibly tell our fellow citizens that there's no criminal wrongdoing if you don't even have to look at?
Because I've seen no evidence that anyone consciously...
Well, how would you know what elements of the crime existed? You don't even know what statutes are at play. I'm going to ask you again.
I think...
What statutes have you evaluated?
I think you can rely on common sense that nothing I have seen...
Common sense. Instead of the criminal code, you want to rely on common sense. No, Mr. Cox, you can shake your head all you want to, Commissioner.
There you have it. Representative Trey Gowdy, Kevin Miller at 580KIDO. This is Congress actually holding these jabronis accountable.
You have said today that there's no evidence of criminal wrongdoing, and I'm asking you what criminal statutes you have reviewed to reach that conclusion.
I reviewed no criminal statute.
All right, so you don't have any idea whether there's any criminal conduct or not because you don't know the elements of the offense.
I've seen no evidence of wrongdoing.
Oh, well, that's very different than no evidence of criminal misconduct, Commissioner.
Well, it seems to me if you haven't done wrongdoing, it'd be pretty hard to argue that you've had some criminal violation if you didn't.
Well, what did Lois Lerner mean when she said perhaps the FEC will save the day?
I have no idea.
What did she mean when she said we need a project, but we need to be careful that it doesn't appear to be per se political? You don't think that's a potential violation of 18-242?
I have no idea if it...
Because you haven't looked at 18-242, and you don't have any idea, Commissioner. You don't have any idea whether there's any criminal wrongdoing or not.
With regard to the production of the evidence, the production of Lois Lerner emails, I have seen no evidence of wrongdoing. What else
that would be a separate criminal offense.
What else went on with Lois Lerner, I said in the past.
So what you're saying is you don't have any idea whether she engaged in criminal wrongdoing. You're just saying that you did not engage in any with respect to the emails.
I haven't seen any wrongdoing with regard to the production of Lois Lerner emails.
But you are not saying there was no criminal wrongdoing with respect to the targeting of conservative groups. I want to be very clear. You're not saying that.
I've made no judgments.
So you disagree with the president when he says there's not a smidgen of corruption.
There are people who have been making judgments both sides about whether they're...
You know what? I'm not one of those. I'm just simply saying we will never know because you didn't keep the evidence.
Uh-huh.
The evidence was spoliated. And whether it's negligent, whether it's intentional, whether it's reckless, we still don't have the evidence, Commissioner.
Well, you have the evidence that there is no emails from the White House. You have all of the Treasury emails. So the basic premise... that this was an argument in a conspiracy driven by the White House does not...
No, sir, you're wrong about that. You're wrong about that. That you're repeating a talking point from our colleagues on the other side that we're obsessed with the White House. It was Jay Carney who perpetuated the myth that it was two rogue agents in Ohio. It wasn't any of us. Was that accurate? Was that first initial line of defense that this is just two rogue agents in Ohio? Was that accurate, Commissioner?
Not that I know of.
All right, so that wasn't accurate, and that came from the White House. Who said there's not a smidgen of corruption? Who said that, Commissioner?
My understanding is that was the president.
It was the president. So that's Jay Carney and the president both inserting themselves into the IRS scandal. And you want to blame us for bringing the White House into it?
I haven't blamed you at all.
You just did, Commissioner. You just did.
Well, it's a good argument. All I said was the White House has revealed there were no Lois Lerner emails. Treasury has given you all of their emails. So to the extent that the argument was that Lois Lerner was conspiring and emailing back and forth, thus far, I haven't seen any.
But you can be engaged in a conspiracy that doesn't include the White House.
Gentlemen.
There you have it. Trey Gowdy laying the smackdown. Why is it this guy? Why isn't Lois Lerner in jail? Why isn't there an independent counsel? Where are the emails? Kevin Miller, 580KIDO.
Chaluser Hooper's really got it all.
When men were men, Hooper. If you've never seen that movie, you can Netflix it, can Redbox it. Heck, you probably YouTube it. Kevin Miller in the morning. Forget Lee Majors and the Fall Guy. Forget Burt Reynolds. We have the real Fall Guy, our friend Big Ed. Hello, Big Ed.
Hey, guy.
How are you?
It's a beautiful day in Texas. You know, I'm looking.
Big Ed, did you forget? Big Ed, did you forget my name, Big Ed?
Same.
Big Ed, did you forget my name?
No, Reverend Kevin.
I know. You go, hey, guy, I'm thinking I'm a side order of fries. I mean, you're doing these big deals with Fox News. You're talking to the TV slappies. I have my insecurities, Big Ed.
Do you really? You shouldn't have.
I do.
I don't think there's much insecure about you.
How's your health, my friend?
Wonderful. I am rocking. Dude, I've been doing butterflies at the gym the other day, and my little buddy Adams, a little football player and stuff, he's 20 years old, he freaking gets up there, and I'm doing my sets, and he goes over and he can't move it. Can't move it. This guy's 6'1", 19 and a half years old, you know, a college guy, football player and all this stuff, and he couldn't move it. And so anyways, well, here, let me take some weight off of that. So I took 40 pounds off of it for
him.
So.
Let me take some weight off there, skinny.
Yeah, he's just shaking his head. Yeah, and he's like I say, 6'1", 200 pounds, probably 220. Yeah, so, no, everything's looking really good. I wished I wouldn't have done that jump in Hobbs kind of after I did that. It kind of shook me up and did a lot of things to me, but after this last weekend, I did a jump in Abilene, Texas, and straightened everything out, so to speak, in ways. And, after being hurt real bad and losing all that weight, that was the best thing that probably happened to me. It was a wake-up call, you know, and had way too much stress in my life and all that stuff. And, you know, and then now here we are getting ready to do this snake, and then now I find out we're moving it. We're not moving
the snake. What's up with that?
Well, it's all about ratings. It's just what you can say. It's all about ratings with Fox. They got to looking at the date and stuff like that and said, you know, we want this right behind a doubleheader football game. And so that's what they're talking about at the end of September, 1st of October is what I'm hearing.
So wait a minute, there's going to be the NFL. There's going to be the NFL on Fox and then Big Ed?
Yep. Doubleheader NFL is what they're talking.
And then you.
And then us, exactly, which makes the ratings higher. So, you know, it's really weird. When they sell a national commercial, they'll sell, let's say, for $500,000, it's at this rating. But if the rating goes up, they actually get to charge more for it after the fact. So it's pretty wild. I'd never heard of that before, but that's the way this is done when they do these specials. So they go in telling, let's say, Chevrolet or whatever, you know, Harley Davidson or whatever, that this thing's going to do a two something, and it comes out and does a five. Well, then they get twice as much money, so or close to it. So
that sounds like a good business to be in.
Yeah. So you know, I mean, I could see why they're wanting to do that. And they ask me, they go, well, you know, when is the window that you can't do it? And I said, there is not a window when I can't do it. You know, so long as we do it this year, I'm happy.
Now, Big Ed with us here at 580KIDO, Big Ed Beckley. Big Ed, talk a little bit about you had to move the location. That was well documented. You've been here. I've been following you on Facebook, scouting locations, talking to folks. Heck, the next time we talk to the governor, we're going to have to make you an honorary citizen of the state of Idaho.
I've spent enough money there, that's for sure.
And the kids appreciate your $1 million to the education fund.
Exactly. And they want more, though. You know what? That's why they want us to go ahead and do this job, so they could get this percentage of the Fox money that we're going to get, T-shirts, everything. You know, that's the way that this whole contract was written, with the landing side, which is over in Jerome County, which is on the north side. That's what the state owns. And then we rented, of course, you know, some private land from a guy named Geisler, a great guy. Rick Geisler used to be worked for the fire department in the city of Twin Falls, and he's retired now and lives right on that rim, and he happens to have just enough space to do this at.
So, Big Ed here at 580 KIDO with Kevin Miller in the morning. Tell us about the, I guess, the physics of what you're going to do. It's been a while since your rocket cycle. A lot of folks are, you know, thinking about doing this, that, and the other to emulate what Evel Knievel did, but you're actually going to jump a motorcycle?
We'll be able to ride the motorcycle around the Snake River Canyon and pull it up to the takeoff ramp, lock it in. And this is pretty funny because one of your guys says on the, you know, on K, what is it, your Facebook? I think it's KIDO.
Oh, that's Pat from Middleton, yes.
Yeah, and he says, yeah, about using, you know, a catapult. Well, guess what? That's what we're using. It's exactly what we're using. It'll keep me straight and get me the speed that we need because we went from going to use the old Knievel site that we found out that, well, the city found out they couldn't even rent it to us, basically, because it was a covenant on the land, and the other landowners around it was going to enforce that, is what the whole story was. So anyway, of course, here we are getting ready to do this thing and working this out. We think we've got 1,500 feet to take off. In other words, a little over a quarter mile to make the speed to take off and then hit the rockets. Oops. Now we don't have that, so we have private land. We have 567 feet and 6 inches. So we're going to need every bit of that to get the speed up to do this thing. You know, I mean, the whole thing is when we take off there, the speed off the takeoff ramp will be done, of course, by the catapult will get us up to about 180, and then we're got that hydrogen peroxide rocket that we built, and that thing has got all sorts of power, over 6,000 pounds of thrust, and thank God I'm on a diet, right? So it doesn't take that to get me off of this thing. But we've now got to go, instead of 1,500 feet, we have to go 2,300 feet just to get across the rim. So we're trying to make this thing where we can jump just about a half a mile, and about 2,600 feet is what we're thinking. So we can do it. 2,000 won't work, 2,600 feet. We live. That's the physics of that.
Yeah, how are you going to land, though? Are you going to have a parachute or something?
Yeah, a parachute to slow it down and all that, and then we'll get it about 8 to 10 feet off the deck and or off the, you know, the dirt where we're going to land on, and blow the bolts on the parachute, and the parachute will pull it back off and exit itself, and we'll land it like a jump bike. Regular deal. That's the way I want to do it. That's the way we're going to do it. And I've already told my engineers I don't want to hear anything else about it. Just make it happen.
How fast have you ever ridden a motorcycle?
I've been almost 200 before.
So it should be okay for you.
Yeah, I mean, this is a whole lot different, though. 200 mile an hour on a, you know, on a racetrack, a road racetrack or something like that, is way different than going off a catapult at a 180 or so, and then accelerating up to 300. That's the whole thing. The bike will be going right at around 300 in the apex of the jump. So as it's gaining speed and all that as we take off and off that ramp. That's whenever this, you know, hydrogen peroxide does its job. You know, it's a lot better. It's a lot better for getting your leg healed and all this stuff or whatever, but that stuff is a bomb when you're ready to make horsepower. That's the way to do it, and it's all green. That's the good thing about it, is it's not going to hurt the environment or anything like that. So,
well, that,
it's
that,
safe.
Hang on, Big Ed. We're going to go to Owen Eagle, who wants credit. He was the one that talked about the catapult here at 580 KIDO. Oh, you're on with Big Ed.
Big Ed, good morning, sir.
Morning. Great idea. We already had that about 6 months ago. I'm glad somebody was thinking, though, of this. Right on.
When I suggested the catapult, people started making fun of me. I was concerned for your safety, brother.
Well, you know, me too. But that's one reason why I've got some good guys that are are a lot smarter than I am with protractors and computers and all the above to figure this stuff out. And that was the thing that we decided to do, was that since we weren't going to have the – I mean, we could have probably rented the road, you know, pole line or whatever that is that comes down through there, you know, paid for all that. I mean, it seems like the city definitely had their hand out, so they probably would have took our money and ran. But it wasn't going to put me off straight. And when you're going, you know, that far, half a mile off to the left, just a little bit, 1 or 2 inches, means you're off 500 feet on the other side, and we don't need to be landing on the top of a bunch of volcanic rock over there, big old deal. So that's why the catapult will keep me straight, get the speed up, and the way we're going to do it is it'll be almost like a ski jump. It'll be tall, come down the catapult, goes down into the like a little valley area, then back up, and that will dissipate some of the G-force, too, that I'm going to have to endure. So, you know, I don't need to be blacked out as we're doing this thing. I got to, you know, have all my facilities and everything ready. So your catapult idea is what we had about 6 months ago, and we didn't think we were going to have to use it until now. We went over here, and we went from 1,500 feet takeoff to 500 and some. That's, whoo, buddy, we got to have that speed, and that'll do it. So you're right, man. I was cracking up when I read that this morning on Facebook.
Well, I think it's going to be awesome, and I'm pulling for you.
Oh, thank you very much.
Appreciate it.
Hi,
thanks,
Kevin,
for calling in.
All right. You know, O's a conservative comedian. He was going to be a big star one day, and maybe he'll put you on The Tonight Show when he's guest hosting.
There you go. There you go. You know, all different people from all different walks of life have emailed me and Facebook me and all this stuff, and you know, we got our Facebook at Big Ed Beckley. We also got Big Ed Beckley's Snake River Canyon Jump Facebook. And both those things are very active with people sending me notes and letters. And, I mean, I'm getting all sorts of stuff through the mail. You know, and you know what's really funny is that I guess it's funny to me or surprising that people really have took out the time to write me, Kevin, and talk about the money that we're giving away to the state for the education.
I'm hoping you're going to give me some money.
Dude, you've been educated enough. Get these kids educated. And I'm sure that you understand. I mean, it's a good deal. I mean, the state did the right thing. I mean, I'm $943,000 lighter today, for sure, after that whole thing. But, you know, it's paid. It's in the system. They're using it, and it's helping the taxpayers. So the last time anything like this, the last time any kind of daredevil stunt helped the local taxpayers and stuff like that for the state, no, that's never happened before. So
no, evil promised a lot and left everybody in the lurch. Hey, are you going to be increasing your appearances up here soon?
Pretty soon. It's just like, you know, I mean, yesterday I found out that, or 2 days ago I found out that Fox is doing a photo shoot. You know, they're flying in or bringing people in or a photographer to do that. So right now it's like I kind of just set and I'm heading to Hollywood. I know on July the 20th there's a big Television Critics Association deal that we're going to be part of, a big old party. I heard that they're spending $250,000 for this party for, you know, to do the promotion, stuff like that. Pretty cool deal. So I get to go out there and rub elbows with some of them Hollywood stars and stuff like that. But, you know, I don't know for sure when we're coming back and forth and back and forth. I never know. I mean, there is some talk about doing some photo shoot and another new, you know, big press conference, which they've never really had.
Yeah, you don't need to do that, Big Ed. You just come to us and we'll take care of you.
There you go. There you go.
But that's what I'm thinking of. I'll Facebook you. I got to run, but Big Ed, we always appreciate it. We're behind you, and we were with you from the start, so we're with you now.
All right, buddy. Appreciate it. Thanks, people.
All right. Thank you, Big Ed.
See you.
Bye-bye. You can tell Big Ed's going places. It used to be my old friend Kevin Miller. Now it's Guy and Buddy. Sure signs that you're fast becoming a side order fries. Oh, come on. Let's get you to traffic now.
On Hannity, weekday afternoons at 3 on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.